We had two shiurim where we started to discuss some of the halachic pitfalls and some of the important issues that we have to be aware of when we prepare a salad on Shabbos, and here is our third in that series. So we come to a malacha of tochein. The malacha of tochein means that you're not allowed to pulverize, you're not allowed to crush something and make it into small particles. When did that come up? As we know, the Gemara tells us that all of the malachos that we have in our Lamites Avos Malachos and the 39 malachos all stem from what was done in the Mishkan. When did they do the act of pulverization in the Mishkan? That is a discussion. Either when they did it was when they had to do shchikas samimanim, when they had to crush the spices that were being used for the different necessities in the Beis HaMikdash, or number two, when they used to have a karban mincha, which is a flour offering, and obviously flour has to be crushed, it has to be pulverized, so that is how they come to the malacha of tochein. Now, how would we give a clear definition of the malacha of tochein? What exactly are the parameters of the malacha? And let us see how that relates to our discussion here with regard to making a salad on Shabbos. We turn to the words of the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Hei. Says the Rambam as follows. The Rambam here is really trying to describe a general overview of what does it mean to have avos malachos, and av means if someone's a father or a mother, it means there must be a child, right? So the Gemara assumes in Maseches Baba Kama that if there are 39 avos malachos, there must be also toldos, there must be children of the malacha. So what does it mean that there are children of a malacha? And the Gemara describes the following. The Gemara says, when you have the exact same action and activity that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, that is called an av malacha. So for example, in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to light a fire in order to have a functioning mizbeach, in order to have a functioning Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, to light a fire today would be an av malacha. What if I have something that is the similar outcome, but a different way of getting about that? That would be considered a tolda. That would be considered a tolda when it's basically the same thing. So I can't think of a good example, but the Rambam here is basically challenged with the same question. How would you define an av and a tolda? Says the Rambam, Hatolda hi hamalacha hadoma la'av. A tolda's definition is that it is very similar to an av malacha. Ketzad, what does it mean? Hamechatech es hayerek ma'at ma'at levashlo. Says the Rambam, if I cut up a vegetable, ma'at ma'at, in small pieces, levashlo, that's a very curious phrase in the Rambam, seems to say that this is limited only to someone who wants to cook these vegetables, but we don't paskin like that Rambam, but that's what he seems to say. Hareza chayev. So the Rambam says, if I want to cut up vegetables in smaller pieces, that would be something that would be a prohibition of what? What would the malacha be? Says the Rambam, Harei zechayev, shezu ha-malachas toldos trina. Tochein means to grind something, to pulverize, to crush it, and to make it into powder. What would be a similar kind of result if I have a big vegetable, and now I cut it into smaller pieces? While it's true that it's not pulverized into powder, but the same kind of outcome comes as a result of what I'm doing. Says the Rambam. What is the similarity between these two things? How can you call that tochein? Shehatochein lokeach guf echad emechalko legufim harbe. What exactly is the essence of tochein? Says the Rambam, it means when I take something that is one entity and I now make it into many different small particles, so too, v'chala'osa davar hadomela zeh harezu toldos tochein. So too, says the Rambam, if I have one cucumber or I have one carrot and now I cut it up into smaller particles, that in essence would be the same as the malacha of tochein. Okay? So that's why we begin with a major issue here. How am I supposed to make a salad on Shabbos if the only way to make a salad is to take one large vegetable and cut it into smaller pieces? Isn't that what the Rambam says here is under the category, the classification of the malacha of tochein? Good question? Fair? Okay, so that's what we begin with. It's important to mention that the malacha of tochein applies to other substances as well, not only to fruits and vegetables. When we have tochein in the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about crushing up, pulverizing spices, or pulverizing something till it becomes into wheat, till it becomes flour. What about if I take a piece of metal, I take a bar of metal, and I then crush it, and now it becomes powder? Or I take a piece of wood, and I slice it. Is that also? So the Rambam says very clearly, yes, tochein is not limited to food items. Tochein is something that applies outside of anything edible as well, and we would assume that this is something we have to worry about with any substance that we may have, for the most part. for the most part, it's with any substance. Now, there's a fascinating line in the Ramah that if we understand it properly, it would really incredibly limit the scope of the malacha of tochin. Look at the Ramah here in number base. The Ramah says, Hu adin de aser lachtoch grogros v'charuvim lifnei hazakenim. The Rambam says you would not be allowed to, the same way the Rambam says you're not allowed to cut up vegetables, so too says the Rambam, says the Ramah, you're not allowed to cut up grogros v'charuvim, you're not allowed to cut up certain kinds of fruits or vegetables, lifnei hazakenim. Now what does that mean? Lifnei hazakenim. I'm not allowed to cut up vegetables for elderly people? Why does the Ramah have to include that in the definition of the malacha? The Magen Avram knows that we have to be very careful when we read the Shulchan Aruch to understand every word. And the Magen Avram here says, whoa, why does the Ramah add in those words, lefnei hazakenim? You know why? Mashma, it seems from the Ramah, de lefnei mi sheyachal elo sokach shari. If I'm cutting up a vegetable for somebody who doesn't have teeth and cannot eat the vegetable without it being cut up, that is called a malacha of tochein. And therefore, says the Ramah, the only time tochein would apply is when I'm doing it lifnei hazakenim, when I'm doing it for somebody who otherwise cannot eat this item, and now I'm making it available and edible to them. However, says the Ramah, if I have somebody who can eat this anyway, somebody who's not, doesn't have any problem chewing, in that situation, it seems that the Ramah is telling us there would be no prohibition of tochein at all because you didn't really accomplish anything. You didn't really change the status. Nothing happened. I could have eaten the cucumber when it was whole. It's not so nice to stand there with a full cucumber, so you sliced it up for me, but it doesn't really matter. And therefore, the Ramah seems to say that that would be permissible. Along comes the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir HaHalacha, and he stops the Magen Avram in his tracks, and he says, absolutely not, it can't be. La'anias daiti. Although the Bir HaHalacha, the Mishnah Berurah writes, I'm not on the same level as the Magen Avram, and I live much later in history than the Magen Avram. Still, says the Mishnah Berurah, La'anias daiti ein dvar mukhrachim. I do not agree with this suggestion of the Magen Avram in his reading and understanding of the Ramah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the only reason the Ramah says to cut up vegetables lefnei hazakenim is because urcha d'milsa. Why else would I cut up vegetables? I cut them up small because you have a person who can't chew. You have a person who doesn't have teeth. So the Ramah is just giving a classical example. However, hareheim einam yecholam lechol im lo yechatchum dakdak aval le'olam medavar shehu mishum gidulei karka shayich botchina b'chol gavni. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it wouldn't matter whether you're somebody who needs this to be chopped up or you don't need it to be cut up. Either way, if you do the act of cutting something into small particles, that would be something that would be a violation of the malacha of tochein, and it doesn't make a difference who you're doing it for and whether or not they needed this. That would be something that is definitely prohibited. So, assuming that tochen is an issue for gedolim, for ketanim, to do the malacha of tochen would be problematic, how small would you need to cut something in order to make it a prohibition of tochen? How small would it have to be? That is a very important question. And the answer to that is a very subjective answer. It very much depends on the person. What size do I normally cut things to? And how can I say that this is going to be a little bit different than the normal size that I usually cut my vegetables into? That is a major, major question that is really unclear. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Sefer Yerayim. If you look over here at number Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah tells us that the Sefer Yerayim, who's one of the Rishonim, was not exactly sure mahu dak umahu gadol, what's considered to be cutting something up so small, and what's considered to be, no, I'm just cutting it from being a large cucumber to being a smaller piece of cucumber, but it's not really something that is defined as a malacha of tochein. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, Ach kol zeh l'inyan chiyuv, aval l'inyan iser, yesh lizar ma'od bazeh, dekvar kasa b'sefer yireim, deshir dakusa lanodolanu. It's very unclear, it's very hard to define, where is the cutoff point? Sorry, that was the wrong term to use. But where would you say the delineation is? Where would you say that if you cut it this size, then you say that's a malacha of tochein? And if you cut it that size, that's not tochein, that's just making the cucumber a little smaller. Where's the break-off? Where would you say that we would draw the line to say this is tochein and that is not? And that is why this is very, very hard to define, which is why the Chazon Ish writes, so long as you cut the vegetable a little bit larger or differently than you normally would cut it during the week, you never get involved in the malacha of tochein at all. That's what the Chazon Ish says. If you make it a little bit larger than the slices, than the cuts that you would have during the week, there would not be a problem of tochein at all. There is a fascinating comment of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Let's read this together. Shlomo Zalman writes in the Tshuvas Mincha Shlomo, it's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa as well. Let's see what he says. Tzarech lomar, the time of shemuter lachtoch b'shabbos peiros v'yirokos gedolim lachatichas katanas. Why am I allowed to take an apple and slice it into smaller pieces? Isn't that tochin? Why am I allowed to take a vegetable and cut it into smaller pieces? Wouldn't that be tochin? Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, the answer is, humipnei, the reason is because adayin tzrichim lishinayim hatochnos osa. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Erbach, since I still require my teeth to chew it, therefore it's not considered to be a finished product. So if it was really pulverized and I was just able to swallow it the way it is, then you would say that would be tochin. But here, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, since we still need our teeth to chew that piece of apple or to chew the cucumber or to chew any of the fruits or vegetables that I may be cutting up, therefore he says that would not be the same as tochin. Tochin means once I do this act, it's fine, and it no longer needs anything else to cut it. This is a tremendous chiddush of Reb Shlomo Zalman. It's a huge chiddush, but this is the way he describes it. So why is it, Reb Shlomo Zalman then asks on himself, why is it that if that is the litmus test to decide whether something is going to be considered tochen or not, then ask Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach, what about when the Shulchan Aruch tells us that cutting a piece of wood is considered to be tochen? Why is it tochen? You could still cut the wood more. So if I slice a big log of wood in half. What do you mean? You still need to cut it up more. So why would that be tochen? Says the Reb Shlomo Zalman, "Shiny bikua eitzim sheruim letafkina miyad below shum tchina." Because when I slice a big log of wood in half, I'm going to throw that half a piece into the fire. I don't need to cut it up anymore. It is good the way it is, and that means that the act that I did of slicing it in half actually made a difference. It actually brought me to the goal. And that is why Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach says there would be a difference over there where we would say that is considered tochein. Whereas over here, if I cut a vegetable to a size where I would still need to chew it in my mouth, that would be something that would not be considered tochein at all. To me, I think that's a very interesting chiddush. That is the way Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach tries to categorize it. He classifies it that way. And it's very, very interesting. Be it as it may, the Mishnah Berurah writes, one has to be so careful about making sure that they get it right. Because says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Chayyadam, what if I do violate tochein when I slice my vegetables? What's the consequence of that? Mishnah Berurah says, if that were to happen, I would not be allowed to then subsequently eat the fruit at all, or eat the vegetable. What's the halacha if somebody goes ahead on Shabbos and does a malacha with food? The primary example is, I cook food on Shabbos. So the halacha is, you're not allowed to derive benefit from a malacha that was done on Shabbos. And therefore, I wouldn't be allowed to eat that food that was cooked. Similarly, says the Mishnah Berurah here, if I had food that we violated the malacha of tochein for on Shabbos, whatever you say the violation of the malacha is, however big or small it needs to be, but says the Mishnah Berurah, if you violated it, you're not allowed to eat those vegetables. You wouldn't be allowed to eat those vegetables. They would be asur b'hana. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, we need to really be aware of the different kinds of Hagdaros, the different kinds of categories that we're suggesting here, and to know what is considered tochen and what perhaps is not, because the consequence of that would be whether or not I would be allowed to eat the fruits or vegetables after they have been sliced. So I was just downstairs in the Beis Medrash, and I asked one of the girls, what is one of the smallest slices that you would ever make for a salad? What would you say it is? She said she thinks an Israeli salad, and another one of the girls said a parsley dip. Parsley, apparently you have to crush it up very small if you want to make a dip like that. So do you make that on Shabbos? I would venture to say that's probably something that needs to be done before Shabbos, right? Because you're slicing something up very, very small in order to put it in, right? Or let's say scallions, right? Is that good? No, not scallions.
Yeah.
What's
Yeah. It's a long one.
I know what it is. I go shopping every week. I got it.
What about Israeli salad?
So that's the question. So let's get a little bit more into it, and then we'll talk about the specific examples if you still have questions. So this would seem to be a major problem, right? Seem to be a major problem. What do we do? So first of all, the easiest answer is what the Chazon Ish writes. Chazon Ish writes, as long as you cut the fruits or vegetables a little bit larger than the normal size that they would otherwise be cut into a salad, that would be fine. That's not called tochen. Tochen means that I cut something very small, but here I'm not cutting it as small as I normally would, even though that's a very subjective way to say it, because there is no quantifiable way to really define what is considered to be tochen and what is not. But still, says the Chazon Ish, if you're careful to make sure that you do it larger than the normal size that you would otherwise cut it, that's enough, yeah?
What if you cut it during the week smaller, so on Shabbos you can cut it smaller? Is that allowed? So your normal way is smaller.
Okay, but that's your normal way.
Yeah, like, so now you can make
that
it smaller.
That became your normal way.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay, that's what I do.
Yeah.
Is there a root of the shabbat?
That's really what you do?
During the week I cut salads really, really small.
Just so that on Shabbos you can cut them a little larger?
Because I don't like big cuts.
That's big, you know, thinking ahead.
I don't cut salad that often.
I don't cut salad
out. What if you only cut salad on Shabbos?
I don't know. Yeah.
Is the root of the shinoi like a difference in size or a shinoi?
Size.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see in a few minutes about other shinuyim. Okay. This would seem to be a major problem. Yeah.
So let's say during the week I'm in Stern, so I'm having a salad. It's whatever size Stern cuts it to. Is that a factor if that's the normal size I'm eating?
That's normal for you.
Something would have to be smaller than, I mean, bigger than whatever. They do, if that's where I normally eat salad.
I think so. However, there's a saving grace for many of our salads, and that comes from the surprising opinion of the Rashba. So let's see. What does the Rashba say? The Rashba says, what are you talking about? The whole prohibition of tochen is only when I'm doing tochen la'achar zman. When I'm crushing something up, when I'm pulverizing it, not to eat in my salad now, when I'm cutting something not to eat right now, but rather I'm doing it for tomorrow, or I'm doing it for later on. That's the only time it's a problem. However, says the Rashba, if I take a cucumber out of the refrigerator, and now I start cutting it up into smaller pieces, even if I cut them into very thin slices like Amanda likes her salad, even if I do it that way, you know, I always think it's going to be interesting, like in 10 years from now, Amanda's children are going to be listening to my shiur about salad, they're going to say, what? Is that mom?
Makes sense.
I always wonder that, like, is that going to happen? That, like,
I get texts a lot.
Our kids are going to be listening to things. Texts from this class?
Yeah.
Do I call you out so often?
like, even if it's occasionally.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
I still haven't gotten a text from her community in South Africa. Think about her. Yeah. What did you say? You had a question? Someone had a question? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we mentioned this or not, but did this also apply with cutting up, like, fruit? Like, honeydew, cantaloupe, pineapple?
Same.
It
would be the same. Yeah, cutting up fruit would be the same.
But then there's the issue of, like, boulder.
Boulder, we spoke about already. That was the last year.
And then you scoop out. Like,
scooping out. So the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says scooping out is not a problem because scooping out the same way that when you have a banana peel on the outside, so this is like a banana peel on the inside, right? The seeds that you have on the inside is not, it's like a cover. And also some say that when you scoop it out, some of the fruit comes out with it also. So that's what we spoke about at the end of last year with the zvuv, the fly that goes inside of the drink. So that's in terms of that. Yeah.
I'm just clarifying Esty's question that, let's say, like, for melon that you never really cut so small anyway, then you have to still cut it bigger on Shabbos, or?
No.
Okay.
If you're cutting big, you're right. I'm sorry. If you're cutting big pieces anyway, there's nothing to discuss. How about, let's hold on to all these questions. I think when I clarify a few of the points, we'll get to it. Let me skip a drop to make a point now, because you both just mentioned that I think it's very important. Rav Moshe Feinstein, if you want to look it up later, I didn't put it on the sheet, but it's an Aruch Chaim, Chelek Dalid, Simen Ayin Dalid, when he talks about Tochein, Os Gimel. You got that? Aruch Chaim, Chelek Dalid, Simen Ayin Dalid, Tochein, Os Gimel. Writes there that if I slice something, not into small squares, but rather into long slices. Say, for example, I take a carrot and I want to have a platter in the middle of the table where I'm going to have vegetables that I can dip into whatever it is, some kind of dressing. Right? So what do? We don't cut up tiny little squares of carrots. What we do is we make a long strip of carrot or peppers or cucumbers, whatever it is, that you put that on the table, and then people, says Rav Moshe, that's not called tochen. That's certainly not tochen. There's nothing to discuss. If it would be tochen, how would I ever be allowed to cut a challah on Shabbos? Right? I would say, if I have a loaf of bread in front of me on Shabbos, and I take a slice of that, that would be tochen, because I'm taking something larger, I'm making it smaller. What's the difference between that and a piece of wood that you're going to slice in half? Right? So Rav Moshe argues, that we would not have a situation where you take a vegetable and you make it into long slices, into strips, that is not considered to be a malacha of tochen at all. In those cases, you have nothing to discuss. I think certainly in your case, when you have melon, I'm sorry, I made a mistake when I answered you before. When you have melon, you're very correct. When you have melon that you're cutting into large cubes, that's not considered to be a malach of tochen. It's true, you're taking something big and making it smaller, but it's not similar at all to the malach of tochen. The whole discussion, the whole medubar here, is only when we're talking about something that you're cutting into small particles. The question is, how small or how big? Yeah?
So are you allowed to use a peeler to peel like carrot?
You're skipping. We're getting there. We're getting there. Okay. So let me go a little bit further, and then we'll see if anyone still has any questions that aren't made clear. Good? Yeah?
Just also, does this go into like a
darkened field? Oh, guys, you know, really? Give me a chance. Okay. So let's see. So what does the Rashba say? So the Rashba has a very surprising chiddush. Says the Rashba, what did we say in our first year when we spoke about borer? Choosing vegetables, choosing fruits, choosing something that you want to eat. What did we say? What's the determining factor? One of the things that you need to make sure that you do is you take the ochel mitoch hapsolos. Why should that make a difference? Why should it make a difference? The answer is, the Shulchan Aruch says, that would be derech achila versus derech brera. The malacha is to do borer. So if I do something that looks like borer, that is not permissible. If I do something that is derech achila, this is the normal way that a person eats, means I take something out of a bowl and I eat it, that would be considered something that is certainly permissible, because that's not borer, that is called derech achila. Says the Rashba, we can borrow the same terminology from borer and transplant it here into the situation of tochen as well. And what are we going to say? The only time tochen is a problem is when I'm doing a malacha that looks like tochen. But when I'm doing something that looks like achila, and this is just the normal way to eat, is that I cut something, I don't take a cucumber out of the refrigerator and eat it whole, I'm going to slice it into smaller pieces, says the Rashba, that's called achila. What do you think? The Torah cares whether I eat a full cucumber or a half a cucumber? You're allowed to cut it to whatever size you normally do. And therefore, says the Rashba, there would be no discussion of tochen if you're doing this because you're about to eat it. The same way by borer, we don't have a discussion of borer when it's derech achila. That is the chiddush of the Rashba. Look at the Shilta Giborim here. The Shilta Giborim, it's very interesting. The Rashba was a Rishon, an Acharon, a Tana, an Amora, a Rishon, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim. The Shilta Giborim, most of you probably never heard of him. You may have heard of him, but you don't realize that you've heard of him. The Shilta Giborim is a very, very important Torah personality who passed away in the 1500s. His name was Rabbi Yehoshua Boaz. Rabbi Yehoshua Boaz was clearly a major Talmud Chacham. If you've ever looked at a Daf Gemara before, you'll see in the corner of the page there's something called the Masoras Hashas. You know what Masoras Hashas is? Masoras Hashas is any time there's a cross-reference in the Daf Gemara that quotes something from another place, the Masoras Hashas will tell you where that is. So before him, you had to know all of Shas to know where things were, or you didn't know. Once we have him, now he made it easy for us, that you can look something else up that's quoted on the staff, or something that's relevant to the staff. He told us exactly where to go. Not only that, that was first printed in the 1500s. He wrote that. Aside from that, Tosis all the time, the style of Tosis is, Rashi is usually the Mefarish. Rashi just explains, takes the lines in the Gemara, explains what they mean. Tosis doesn't just explain. Tosis usually says, but what you see from this Gemara is X, but if I'm going to bring you a sugya from somewhere else, you'll see Y. And now when you put the two things together, it's a problem. That's what the Bali and Tosis do all the time. So you have to know all of Shas to understand what Tosis is really getting at. Because Tosis says, we have a problem from this Gemara, from that sugya, from this place. All over, Tosis puts it all together and tries to figure out how all of those fit into the context of this sugya or this Gemara that we're now learning. How are you supposed to know where Tosis is quoting from? Sometimes he wrote it in shorthand. Well, along comes the Masoras Hashas, and he filled in not only where the Gemara cross-references other sugyas, but also where the Balei HaTosis cross-reference things all over Shas. So he was a major, major Talmud Chacham. And if you look through the Ramah, every so often, the Shulchan Aruch does not quote him, but the Ramah, every so often will quote something from the Hagos Alfasi. The Hagos Alfasi is the Masoras Hashas. Why is it called the Hagos Alfasi? Alfasi is the Rif. That was his real name. And the Shilta Giborim is the commentary that he has on the side of the Rif. So that's why it's called the Hagos Alfasi, the one who wrote a comment on the Rif. So the Ramah quotes it every so often. So here, Right? So again, we should argue that our class should be a history class for next semester. That was a history lesson
here.
You tried, Anne?
They weren't there.
Okay. Maybe next year. Okay. So the Rashba is one of the Gedolei HaRishonim. Along comes one of the early Achronim, the Shilta Giborim, and he says, I love the Rashba and I respect him, but I don't agree with him. How can it be? Let's see what he writes. Number 8. Timihani Olav. I'm shocked by this Chiddush of the Rashba. What did the Rashba say? The Rashba said, the same way by the Malacha Borer we say, that so long as you're doing something that's Kederach Achila and not Kederach Borer, it would be permissible. So too, he transfers that logic to the Malach of Tochen, and he says, so long as I'm doing something, Kederach Achila, and not Kederach Tochen, it would be permissible. Ask the Shulta Giborim, how can that be? Timihani Alav. Kivan deha Iser hu mishum Tochen, mali Tochen lebo bayom ola alter ola machar. If the Malacha is that I'm not allowed to take something and make it into smaller pieces, smaller particles, then what does it matter if I'm doing it to eat today, if I'm doing it to eat tomorrow, if I'm doing it for another time? Either way, it's a Malacha of Tochen. Would I be allowed to do any malacha just because my intention is to use it right away? So say, for example, I forgot to make challah for Shabbos. Can I now go and put challah into the oven on Shabbos and bake it because I want to eat it now? Of course, if I want to make challah for tomorrow, I wouldn't be allowed to bake it. If I want to make cookies for tomorrow's birthday party, I'm not allowed to do that. But if I want to make challah for today, maybe I should say, based on the logic of the Rashba, as long as I'm doing the malacha for now, it should be permissible. Can't be, right? So, the Shilta Giborim is right. It's a good question, isn't it? So how do you differentiate between the malacha of Ofel, let's say, or Bishul, and the malacha of Tochen and Borer? How can that be? Why would we say by Tochen, if the definition of the malacha is to take something and make it into smaller particles, what do I care if you're doing it for now? Either way, it's problematic. Fair? I think his question is a really strong question. But this is what the Rashba says. And that is why the Beis Yosef writes that he thinks if a person really wants to be maker like the Rashba, and I want to be able to cut things today in order to eat them right away, since the Rashba is a tremendous Chiddush and we're not sure exactly what to do with it, and the Shilta Giborim is a very strong question on him, therefore writes the Beis Yosef, the way around it is, cut them into larger pieces than you otherwise would do it. And if you're cutting them into larger pieces than you otherwise would have, that would take care of the whole problem. If you don't want to rely on the Rashba. How does this come down? How does it trickle down into the halacha itself? What does the Shulchan Aruch write? So the Shulchan Aruch comes with that opinion and says you have to be careful when you're cutting vegetables not to cut it too small because that would be an Isser on Shabbos. Along comes the Rama. Let's read the Rama. When do we say that cutting up vegetables would be a problem? That's only bechotech umeiniach, when you're going to leave it for another time. However, says the Rama, Avaol im la'achla miyad, if I'm cutting something because I want to eat it right away, I want to make a salad, hakol shari, midi dehavi aborer lechol miyad deshari. The same way we find this logic by borer, that as long as you're doing something in order to eat it right away, that would be permissible. So too, if I'm cutting it in order to eat it right away, that would also be permissible. So the Rama accepts this position of the Rashba, and he says that I would be allowed to cut vegetables on Shabbos as long as I'm eating them right away. Now again, the Mishnah Berurah says he thinks we should be machmir because the Rashba is very questionable. And the Shilta Giborim's question on him is very strong. So the Mishnah Berurah says he thinks that we should cut the vegetables a little bit larger in order that we should not be in violation of Tochen. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, even though I feel we should be machmir, if you come to someone's house and you see that they are preparing some kind of egg salad where they cut the Chassidim have a minig that they make egg salad on Shabbos and Yantif, right? Nobody here from a Chassidish family? You are? They make egg salad on Shabbos? Correct? What?
Yeah.
On Shabbos or Yantif? Shabbos. So that's the question. What?
Dalia is.
Dalia is from a Chassidish family?
Yeah.
What kind of Chassidim? Saber. Wow. All right. I'll tell you my story about the Saber Chassidim without the recording. Really? How are you? That's the extent of it. Amazing. Okay. So a lot of Chassidim, I think the Satmar's Bechlalam, also believe that you're supposed to make egg salad on Shabbos. It's Kavod Shabbos to make a special dish on Shabbos, and that was considered to be very special in Europe. Now we have lots of other special things, but that's what a lot of Hasidim did. And there are a lot of discussions in the poskim to understand how you're allowed to do that. Part of making egg salad is you cut up onions into tiny little particles and you mix it into the mixture. How can you do that? Isn't that a problem of Tochen on Shabbos? That's a big discussion, and the Mishnah Berurah says, look, it's probably not right, and it's a big question how you're allowed to do that, but says the Mishnah Berurah, there's what to rely upon. The Rashba, one of the great Rishonim, said that there's no problem as long as I'm going to eat it right away, and therefore he says, if you come into someone's house and you see them doing this, says the Mishnah Berurah, don't be moched, don't start making a whole scene out of it, just let things be, it's okay. Let it be, because after all, even if you don't accept the opinion of the Rashba, maybe somebody else accepts the opinion of the Rashba, and that should be something that should be respected. Okay, whether we accept the leniency of the Rashba or not, whether we say that as long as it's Letzarech Achila and I'm using it right away, and that would be enough of an allowance for me to do so, everyone would agree, as the Mishnah Berurah writes here, everyone would agree that to use what you said is a shredder would not be permissible. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Let's read the Mishnah Berurah together. I'm Bibir Halacha, where he says, Dehainu kishachotcha besakin. Even if you accept the position of the Rashba that this would be permissible to cut in small particles, that's only when you're using a knife. But if I'm going to use a shredder, nira de'aser b'chol gavni, you're certainly not allowed to do that. Degam b'borer gufa, because we find the same halacha by borer. If you're going to use a kli hamayucha de breira, if you're going to use a special sifting instrument, that would be something that is not allowed. And therefore we assume that this would be problematic. And then the Mishnah Berurah adds that it also looks like uvda dechol. It looks like you're doing something that's really a weekday activity. But says the Mishnah Berurah, either way, that would be a problem. What is a perfect example of that?
A chopper.
A grater. What else?
Those chopper.
For the eggs?
Yeah. You put the cucumber on it and you put the thing down.
Isn't that for an egg?
No, they have
a slicer. Okay. I think a perfect example would be a pepper grinder, right? Some people like to have fresh pepper. So they put it all in this grinder, and then you put it over your soup, and you grind it into the thing. That would be a real problem of Tochen on Shabbos. Why? Because I'm making tiny particles, and I'm using a grinder. I'm not using a knife to chop it up. I'm using a real grinder, so you can't even rely on the Rashba. When did the Rashba say that I'm allowed to rely on this position? That's only when I'm using a regular knife. However, if I'm going to use a shredder, or I'm going to use something that's a grinder, that would be a much different problem. So let's say shredding cheese on Shabbos with a shredder would also be a problem. Or making shredded carrots would also be. I think most of the time when people do shredded carrots, they buy a bag of shredded carrots to put into the salad. But if you want to shred it on Shabbos, that would be certainly something that is very questionable and potentially problematic. Now, as we said before, Moshe makes a very important point, and that is that when you have a situation where you're going to be slicing them and not cutting them into tiny little pieces, that would not be a problem at all. The same way when I take a piece of a large loaf of bread and I slice it into smaller pieces, that would not be a problem at all.
A mandolin.
What?
A mandolin.
Isn't a mandolin a like instrument?
I think a julienne.
Oh,
they
look
like
the julienne.
That makes
it. Isn't it
called a mandolin?
Yeah,
it's
like
a mandolin.
Isn't that a shredder?
No, but it's cut into really thin slices.
It only goes in one direction, I believe.
And it makes the pieces really big.
It looks like apples.
That's called a mandolin?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So
you shouldn't use them anyway, if they're dangerous. I don't know. I think that would be a kli hamayucha le tochen. I think so.
No, it's slicing only.
So?
It only slices, it doesn't chop.
So therefore?
Theoretically.
I don't know. Maybe that's the Mishnah Berurah's second consideration where he says about uvda dechol, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about an apple cutter?
A what?
Apple cutter.
Apple cutter, I think, is not a knife. That's a kli hamayuchad, right?
But
again, what comes out of that is something that's much larger.
What about the chopper? I think so. A bigger mm-hmm. setter?